Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. A few must-haves for any successful cook. Hi, friends. Welcome back for day two of our food article today. It's June 15, and we're halfway through equipping a tiny kitchen. A lot of us can relate to having not a lot of space to work in when we are cooking and baking and preparing food. And so for a lot of us, we end up just opting for takeout. We avoid cooking altogether. But this article is giving us some great advice to help us become better cooks in small kitchens. My name is Naomi, and back with me for day two. First of all, we have Catherine.
Hello, Naomi.
So what did you learn yesterday?
I learned that organization is key, and I think that that is something I need to learn because, like I said yesterday, right now all my kitchen items are just sort of thrown on the shelves where there's space. There's no organizing right now.
It takes some work.
It really does. I think you have to figure out what system works best for you because everyone is different, so I'm still figuring that out.
Right, and also just paying attention to what kinds of things you use more and what things you might not really need.
Yeah, that's totally true. I mean, I don't cook a lot, but when I do, I usually use just one pot or one pan, one knife, stuff like that.
So, yeah. Okay. Well, also back with us is Campbell.
Hello, everyone.
So what did you learn yesterday?
I like the term mise en place, which I think is something that is applicable to more than just the kitchen. I think a place for everything and everything in its place is a great way to just keep your house neat and tidy.
That's true. And I think that even applies to office spaces. And as I'm thinking about it, I'm going, oh, I could organize my desk a little better. Mm-hmm. You know, you try to have a place for everything. Set everything where it needs to be for easy access and to remember where you put it. But sometimes you know, things get a little out of hand.
Right. And I think the thing is, I mean, for me, I'm not a very organized person. So a lot of times I feel like I spend half my life searching for things, like looking, like where is my keys, where, you know. So like having a place for everything, I feel like that would just save me a lot of time.
Right. An example for me that I started to pick up, I used to lose my keys all the time. And it would be so frustrating and it would be scary too because you think, oh no, who has them? So we started a system in my apartment where there's a dish by the door and everyone puts their keys there and that's where the keys are. And so you always know where they are. You always know who's home, you know, and you grab them before you go and it just becomes routine. I haven't lost my keys in a decade, you know, so it's a big improvement from when I was in my early 20s. Well, also joining us again is Lois.
Hi, everyone. Great to be here once again.
What did you pick up from yesterday?
Well, I guess I'm kind of playing the same tune as both Campbell and Catherine. I think maybe don't procrastinate to get the essentials in your kitchen organized because those are the things you're going to be using over and over again. And you really want them handy and you want to avoid frustration in the kitchen because you know what? The kitchen is a dangerous place because you've got so many hot items going on. You got boiling water, you've got sharp knives and other sharp utensils. So you need to prepare and be organized.
That's a great point. Just for safety, it's important to know where everything is and keep everything in the right place. I also thought it was a good point that that our author mentioned, okay, I need to have a better kitchen before I can become a better cook. And it sounds like an excuse, but I think there's a lot of logic here. When it comes down to being organized in any part of our lives, you know, even if I have work to do, the more organized my office is, the easier it is for me to focus. You know, if I'm trying to get things done at home, if things are tidy, it's easier to concentrate. And so just taking the time out to, like you said, not procrastinate, but keep things organized, find a way to get everything in a place that's easy to find. It can make a big difference in productivity, too.
Yeah, for sure. I think you can, when you know where everything is, then you can just grab and go, and then you don't have to search, and you don't have to, like, spend half your life like I do looking for things.
Yeah. Or for me, like I can be exercising in my room and get distracted because I notice something's a mess.
Right.
And I'll sort of like pause my workout and go tidy up.
Yeah.
Think if it were organized in the first place, I could just do my thing and not stop, not get distracted. But today we're continuing on page 27 with a few more ideas on how to make our kitchen work for us. Yesterday we were talking about cutting the clutter, getting organized, and not having too many extra things around. That's sort of what it comes down to for our first tip today, how to make sure that we don't have too many of the wrong things, but that we have enough of the right things. Let's find out how in our first reading.
Stick to the basics. Before there were specialized gadgets for every last kitchen need, chefs got along just fine with a few standard kitchen tools. Forget elaborate knife sets with blades for every job and listen to straight-talking celeb chef Anthony Bourdain. "You need a decent chef's knife," writes Bourdain in his book Kitchen Confidential. "No con foisted on the general public is so atrocious as the one that tells you you need a full set of specialized cutlery in various sizes. Maloney's must-have is a cast iron skillet. Nothing puts a crust on a protein like they do," he says. "They can act as a grill, a nonstick pan for cooking eggs, even be a griddle for cooking pancakes. If properly cared for, a cast iron will grow with you as you cook. The process of seasoning your skillet starts with its first use, and the cast iron will give subtle flavor to every meal thereafter as a result of keeping the skillet greased after each cook."
Well, I don't know if you've walked into any sort of home store or kitchen store or checked through a catalog lately, but there are so many options. I also get distracted online sometimes seeing all of the different kinds of measuring cups and slicers and dicers, and there's so many options. Do you own a lot of kitchen gadgets, Lois?
You know I do. Like a lot. And you know, for me, one of the things, I do use them, but I guess part of it is because we have been able to put up on our wall additional shelves, like standing shelves. And I use one big tray to put on the gadgets I use quite often or on a regular basis. So I just grab them. I don't even have to open a drawer. They don't get all dust on them because they're used so often.
Right.
And it just takes a little bit of the stress out of cooking.
That's true. But do you have any gadgets that you don't use very often?
Oh, yeah, because I just think they looked kind of cool.
Like,
or...
can you think of an example?
Well, you know, I don't use a garlic press that much.
Okay.
Because I usually slice my garlic or dice it. And I see this garlic press all the time, and I think, why did I really think
I
needed
I
that?
Yeah.
Can you think of other examples of unnecessary gadgets?
Well, I remember buying, it was this food sealer thing. It was so that I could put my food in a plastic bag and then seal it and then keep it fresh.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't ever use it anymore.
How about you, Kathy?
Well, I don't own any extra gadgets. However, my mom is a major, major cook. So every time I go home, she's added to her collection of gadgets. And the last time I was there, I think like a quesadilla maker got into the mix somehow.
Wow.
Which
I thought that was called a frying pan.
No. There's an actual thing. So my mom has tons of kitchen gadgets. It's incredible.
I thought of another one. We bought this bread maker a few years ago, and at first we used it a lot, but now it's just taking up shelf space.
And those are big.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. There's a lot of little machines. I have a friend who just collects them. You know, she's got a popcorn popper, and she has an ice cream maker, and she has, you know, juicers and all kinds of things. And it's the sort of thing where maybe you pull it out once a year. It's not really worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, we recently, well, it's not even that recent one. Like, the orange juicer. Oh. But it's not the old grandmother kind. It's now electric, right? And you slice your orange in half. And now I'm using it all the time, but it sat on a shelf, I think, for 3 to 5 years.
Right. Yeah, so it's easy to collect all of these different options and different colors and sizes and shapes. But we see here that our next tip, especially for those tiny kitchens, is stick to the basics. How do we begin?
Well, it says, before there were specialized gadgets for every need, chefs got along just fine with a few standard tools. So specialized gadgets, that's anything that's intended for one certain thing. So
right.
Anything that maybe you want to buy for the kitchen that you can't really use anywhere else, mm-hmm. I guess. Yeah.
Right. Or even more specifically, this mm-hmm. idea of like a lemon zester.
Yeah.
Like it's for one kind of fruit, for one kind of purpose. Yeah. And you think, isn't there another way where this could be more multifunctional? So yes, there are a few things that seem just superfluous. There's too much of them. They're unnecessary. There's too many. And so we get some tips here for how to find what are the standards, what are the essentials.
Right. Well, yesterday we talked about a knife block or a magnetic knife strip that you can hang on your wall. But today we hear that you actually don't need a whole set of elaborate knives and blades for every job. You just need one good knife.
Right. Elaborate knife sets. There's so many different knives. And I think a lot of us have done this before where we've maybe bought a block of knives and then you use like maybe two of them and the rest you kind of look at and go, what does it do?
I know. What's it for?
Yeah, I find that I use two, a chef's knife and a paring knife, and that's mm-hmm. about it. And I do cook a lot.
Okay, well, it sounds like you're on the same page as Anthony Bourdain, who, of course, is a celeb chef. He is well known. He's on TV pretty much around the world, and he's one that I enjoy. He wrote a book called Kitchen Confidential that helped make him famous. What does he say? What's his advice?
Well, he says, no con foisted on the public is so atrocious as the one that tells us we need a full set of specialized cutlery. So that's a lot that he says, but when he's talking about a con, it kind of means a trick. And if it's foisted on us, it means that it's forced on us. Like we have to do it. Everyone's saying that you have to have this if you want to be a good cook or a good chef.
Right. He says, so there's a big trick. There's a big
lie,
mm-hmm. some bad advice that's being given to consumers. It says not only, in his opinion, it's not just a bad idea, but it's atrocious.
Right. Atrocious means extremely cruel. It's kind of just, it's a terrible thing that's happening right now that people are being lied to, that they're told that they need a whole set of different knives and different sizes in order to be a good cook. And that's just not true.
Right. He's saying that you don't need a full set of specialized cutlery. Now, cutlery is knives, spoons, forks, anything like that. You don't need it. You just need one decent chef's knife. Now, can you describe what a chef's knife is?
Well, a chef's knife is a longer blade, so it's longer than your pen, for sure, or your pencil. And it comes wide at one end, and it tapers down to a smaller point at the end. And if you are a person who enjoys food preparation, don't be without it.
Right. So if you picture just a knife, the most basic knife you can think of for cooking and chopping, this is the one. It's big enough that you can do a lot with it, but it's, you know, there's nothing really too fancy about it. Now, in his book, Anthony Bourdain goes on to explain, okay, well, you can use the chef's knife in this way and that way. And then he says, well, there's a couple of other ones that might come in handy if you do this kind of cooking or that kind of cooking. But the chef's knife is the most important. If you can only afford either the money or the space for one knife, just pick a good chef's knife. What's his, Mr. Maloney, that's the Tim Maloney, the chef de cuisine at Pink Avocado Catering that we met yesterday. What's his tip?
He says his must-have is a cast iron skillet. A must-have is basically anything that you want. It's anything that's, it says, desirable or in high demand. So he says the main item he must have is a skillet. It's like a frying pan, I guess.
Right.
Yeah, we see a picture of it right there on
right.
page 27.
And they are heavy, though. just so our listeners know.
Okay, so we can talk about like a frying pan, but a cast iron skillet is sort of more specific.
It is more specific. For one thing, it has to be seasoned, okay? So if you want to look that up, you can find out exactly how to do that. It's going to not be what you think of as a nonstick pan or Teflon-coated pan.
Right, this is quite different. It's made out of one big piece of iron. It's very, very heavy. Mm-hmm. And so if you have very weak arms, you might have trouble cooking with one of these. But according to Tim Maloney, it's worth it. And why does he praise the cast iron skillet so highly?
Well, he says nothing puts a crust on a protein like they do. So here we're talking about cooking some sort of meat or a fish. It puts a crust, which is just the layer of something on
probably butter.
Right. Just puts a coating on the meat.
So it's a little crunchy for us.
Right, yeah.
So that taste, you know, it changes the texture and everything. It sounds delicious.
Right.
They can act as a grill, a nonstick pan, or a griddle for cooking pancakes. So in other words, it's very multifunctional. You can use it for more than one thing. And as we continue, we learn that a cast iron pan is... it takes a little bit of work, actually.
Yeah, you have to take care of it well, but it says that if you do, it will grow with you as you cook. So the more you use it, I guess the more uses you have for it, but then also the taste will stick with the skillet.
So. Yeah, right. So the process of seasoning your skillet starts with its first use. And as Lois said, this is something to do more research on if you decide to buy one. You know, look up how to season it. But we learned that actually as you use it, the flavors kind of grow.
Right. Because, I mean, it's an iron skillet, so it's made of iron. It's got that, and you know, people are constantly talking about, you know, you need more iron in your diet, and they take iron supplements. And actually, this is one way to get a little bit more iron into your food, because as you cook, the iron from the skillet gets into the food.
You know, it's interesting, Campbell, when you talk about that, because years ago, I'm in my early 50s, moms used to use a cast iron skillet a lot, and then they kind of went out of fashion. And now they're coming back again, and I find the food tastes better done on the cast iron skillet than like a nonstick Teflon coated or stainless steel. I like the flavor.
Mm-hmm. Well, it says here that the cast iron does give subtle flavor, just a very kind of mild, minor taste to every meal afterwards as a result of keeping the skillet greased. So you don't actually really wash it the way you would wash a plate. You know, you have to just sort of wipe it down. So, very interesting. Read up more on cast iron skillets if you are someone who does a lot of cooking and you might find a whole new world opening to you. But we'll continue with our final set of tips. These are tricks of the trade, and there's some different kind of tools that you can use in your kitchen being mentioned in our final reading.
Tricks of the trade. In addition to being a hub for seasonal recipes and kitchen tricks, Food 52 offers a hotline that provides real-time answers to burning questions. The free Food 52 Hotline mobile app offers helpful on-the-go tips on how to get the best results out of your recipes. Available in the iTunes App Store. Pepper Plate helps you plan meals, stick to a budget on your shopping trips, submit and review recipes, and consolidate your kitchen notes in one place. With a standalone website and apps for iPhone and Android, this free app is a versatile tool for all aspects of your kitchen. Epicurious is a great resource for at-home cooks who want to find recipes from famous chefs, get tips on hosting dinner parties, and interact with like-minded foodies. The website has a passionate user base that shares recipes, techniques, and recommendations on everything food-related.
Now, the world of cuisine and cooking has changed a lot, even from when I was a little girl, because it used to be that all of our tips and tricks were in the kitchen somewhere, stored in a cupboard, or maybe in a recipe box. But today, that is not true. We have a whole new world at our fingertips that's ready for us to ask advice or to get tips or to try new recipes, of course, we're talking about the internet. So how do we go online to help equip our tiny kitchens, Campbell?
Well, our first website that we talk about is Food52, and it says that in addition to being a hub for seasonal recipes and kitchen tricks, Food52 offers a hotline that provides real-time answers to burning questions. So a hub here, we're talking about just a center of activity, so it's a place where you can find recipes and tricks for the kitchen, but it also provides a phone number that you can call to get some answers.
Right. So if something's going on and you don't know what to do, my souffle fell or this won't cook or it's too runny, you can call them up and say, what did I do wrong? And they'll help you. We learned that it's actually a mobile app.
That's right. So that means that you can have it on your phone because it offers helpful on-the-go tips. So basically anywhere if you're out trying to shop, you can probably look it up and see what you need. And it tells you how to get the best results out of your recipes. So,
I also was thinking, you know, you have these burning questions. You want to get them answered before you have burning food, right?
Exactly. All right. And a free app can certainly help. So Food52 is worth a try. Next, we move on to Pepperplate, which is a website and apps.
Yeah. And this website, it helps you plan meals, stick to your budget on shopping trips, and you can submit and review recipes and consolidate your notes into one place. So this website helps you do a lot of different things, I think.
Yeah, that's a huge variety. So first of all, planning meals. Lois, you have experience with this.
Mm-hmm. Planning meals. So if you are oftentimes planning a meal, especially if it's for more than one person, you have to make sure you have enough food in your home, enough ingredients, and you have to also think about the varying tastes of the people you're cooking for.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be prepared. And you also have to think, if I'm feeding this many people, I don't think I'll serve sirloin steak.
Right.
I think I might go with that turkey breast I saw because it's a lot more economical.
Right. Yeah. I'm also thinking of things like, for example, if you're planning meals for a whole week, you could say, okay, how can I use some chicken on the first day and then use the rest of the chicken that I buy on the third day and so on. So you're trying to create recipes that will work well for you throughout the week. But we see that Pepperplate offers some more help for you here too.
Yes, you can submit and review recipes. You can consolidate your kitchen notes in one place. And consolidate just means to bring together or unite things that were separated. So you have one location for all this information.
Right. It used to be that I remember my mom and her friends trading recipes. They would say, oh, can I get that recipe? And you'd write it out by hand on a little card, and everyone would have recipe boxes with recipes, you know, categorized. That just doesn't happen anymore, does it?
Well, usually no, but my mom still does that. She's a traditionalist in the kitchen. She's got all her cookbooks organized, and then she has recipe boxes.
Okay.
I mean, she's a traditionalist.
Well, it's a helpful thing to do, but it sounds to me like going online could, again, expand that view, right?
Yeah, I think that it would keep everything so much more consolidated, like it says here. It's one place to go rather than having a ton of different space in your kitchen taken up with recipe boxes or cookbooks.
Right. So, and again, if it comes down to that tiny kitchen, if everything's on one app, you're saving a ton of space.
Yes.
So that's a great point as well. Now, again, we see this has a standalone website, which means what? Campbell?
It just means that it's a website. It standalone means that it's by itself. It functions on its own. But it also has apps for iPhone and Android systems.
Okay. So again, this is a free app. It's a versatile tool. In other words, you can use it in a lot of different ways for all kinds of things in your kitchen. Finally, we come to our last trick of the trade, Lois.
Yes. It says Epicurious, Naomi, and we have a website here, and it says is a great resource for at-home cooks who want to find recipes from famous chefs. I like this idea. And I like the idea that it gets tips on hosting dinner parties and interact with like-minded foodies. And I am a foodie like you, Naomi. So I am always interested in recipes, and I follow a few famous chefs.
Okay, so this this website is a fun one because you can find all these recipes, but again, you can interact with different people and try different things.
Yeah, I really like the name of the website, actually. Epicurious is just a play on words. When we talk about Epicurean, we're talking about something that has to do with food or wine, but then they added the word curious on there, so it just makes it about, like, you know, if you're interested in wanting to find out more about food or wine.
Right. Very clever name. And I like the idea about having tips for hosting dinner parties, especially because a lot of us, when we're starting out as a cook, this is an area where we don't feel very confident.
Absolutely not. I would not want to ever host a dinner party because I'm being honest, my cooking is bad. So I would need some practice. I would need some help if I were ever to invite people over to eat dinner.
Okay.
With me.
But then again, interacting with like-minded people, people who think the same way you do, in this case, foodies. Now, Lois, you already mentioned that we're foodies here,
right,
but can you explain that term?
Yes,
a little
I
more?
Sure will. I want to use the definition from our specialized terms on page 27 that says a person who loves food and is very interested in different types of food. Now, if you're a person that can talk about food as much as you might be able to talk about going to see a really good show or movie, you're probably a foodie.
Right.
And if you like to give recommendations to everybody you meet, you're probably a foodie.
Right. You can tell who's the foodies because they're going, did you try that new restaurant? It's so good. Oh, it's not as good as this one, though. So people who really just enjoy food and they sort of make a hobby of it. And if you are a foodie but you haven't started cooking yet, well, maybe a website like this can help encourage you to try some of your favorite recipes at home.
Yeah, because it has a passionate user base, and these people that use this website, they're very passionate about food and cooking, and they share recipes and techniques and recommendations on everything food-related.
Okay, so a very useful place to go to learn more about how to cook and how to make the most of your kitchen. Again, we do want to hear from you, your tips, what you've enjoyed, what you suggest. And, if you have any questions at all about this article, you can find us on the English Corner at studioclassroom.com. And we'll be back with more this month. We're just about halfway. Lots more this month to learn together. So come back and join us. Until then, this is Naomi.
Catherine.
Campbell.
And Lois.
Saying goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.